Conference. We are a member of ARC, the Association of Related Churches. That's who we are. We fellowship with that group of pastors. And I just want to let you know, I'm very encouraged in coming back. Do you know that we as a church, incorporating and partnering with other churches, we have planted over 300 and something churches as a church? We've been a part of that. We give every year. ARC has given over $3 million a year to missions. Come on, that ought to be something that we're part of something huge. And God is using us as a church to change the world. You know, we have a vision in ARC that we're going to plant 2,000 churches by the year 2020. And we're well on our way to do that. So we're excited about what God's doing. Let me just encourage you, if you've never gone through 101, Church 101, and all you do is come to church, you really don't know what we're all about. You just come to church and you like what you see, but if you come to 101, what you're going to learn, you're going to learn who we are, what we're all about, what our vision is, what our government, church government looks like, our structure looks like, who we're accountable to help you to connect to who we are. How many know it's good that we are a part of something bigger than ourselves and accountable to other men, other pastors? And you know why that is? That's to protect you. Amen? Because y'all know sometimes pastors lose it, miss it, and we need other men to help us, guide us, and lead us into what God's called us to do. So that's why we are part of that. So if you haven't come to 101, come tonight. It's going to be awesome. As I was in Jacksonville, Florida, how many of you know that that's a long way away from Jackson, Mississippi? Matter of fact, it's 9 hours and 38 minutes. I know that for a fact, when you drive that far. But I felt like the Lord spoke to me, and he gave this statement to me, take off your robe. Take off your robe. And how sometimes we can get all about our position and our authority, and we forget why we're here, and that's to serve. If you will, I want you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, and get ready. But before that, I want you to go to Matthew 3:13. I just want to preface the message with this scripture right here. It says, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? And Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented, and soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him, and a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I loved, and with him I am well pleased. So this occurrence of Jesus being baptized is him being prepared to go into ministry. And there was two aspects of this we need to understand, that the authority of God always comes with the affirmation of God. Come on, you hear me? That God affirms who he authorizes. And Jesus was being affirmed by God to prepare him, and it prepared him with his authority to do what God called you to do. You remember the story of the men called the seven sons of Sceva. They were going to go out and cast out devils. You remember that story? They decided they were going to go do some stuff. And they went out and they said, in the name of Paul's God, we want you to come out. And the demons replied and they said, Jesus we know and Paul we know, but who are you? How many know you got to have authority to operate? Every one of us are given authority by God to operate in the gifting that God's called us to. That's why church is more than just a place you come to. The church is the body of Christ, where we together, in the authority that God's given us individually and corporately, do a work that's so much bigger than ourselves. But how many know that you can't do the work of God without his authority nor his affirmation? You are affirmed by God. You know what that means? That means you have God's stamp of approval, that you can do what he's called you to do, that you're called by God. You say, Pastor, you don't understand. I fail so many times. But don't let your failure become your identity. Just learn that your failure is just another way of not to do something. In our failings is our greatest learning times, our greatest learning moments. So here we see Jesus is being prepared by the Father. And how many know that Jesus wore a certain type of robe? As a matter of fact, it said that that represented his authority. How many know your dress indicates a lot about you? Right? The way you dress. Jesus wore a certain robe. It was a priestly garment. And it represented his authority. Now, your dress doesn't make you, but it tells you a lot about you, right? It tells, I mean, think about society. Let's show some of those pictures. People dress different ways, and how many know who that is? That's a judge. A judge puts on a robe, and it represents something. It represents his authority. How about this? We know who that is. That's a police officer. You see the authority, his badge tells you something. There's something that you know when a person dresses a certain way, then you know something about that person. How about this next one? There you go, that's dress for success. Reminds me of Lanzio right there. Well, Lanzio know he looking good today. But this, look, come on. You notice you're the only one that amen that. Amen. I'll admit it, though, bro. Here's what I found out about my life. As my economic situation got better, my dress got better. And it ought to. Now, it's not about image, right? We're not about image. It's about substance. But the way we dress says something about us. The way we carry ourselves in our dress says something about us. You know, we ought to dress good for the Lord. Amen. Just saying. So as my economic situation changed, my dress began to change. I told you the story the other day. We went to Dillard's, and I like going to sales, and I bought a lot of nice stuff for a little bit of price. My dad said, "You sure are buying a lot of stuff." I said, "It's because I can now." You know what I'm saying? As you grow, when we first started the church, we didn't have nothing, no money, no nothing. But as we grow in the Lord and we grow economically, you know, if we'll follow the principles of the kingdom of God, God will bless us, and it ought to reflect everything that we do. How about another one? How about another picture? We know this person's down and out. You know that when you see this is somebody who's having an issue, and his dress is reflective of that. And I'm not here to degrade any class or social class. But isn't that true? We know by looking at the dress of someone, it tells us something about that person. How about this one? I have no idea what this is, but anyway. So that says something. So Jesus, yeah, we could stop now. Let's look at this scripture in John chapter 13, because this is very profound, that when you dress for success, I'm talking about spiritually dress yourself, that God expects us to live a certain way. How many know that you ought to be willing? Sometimes Jesus was willing to take off his priestly garment to become a servant. He took off his robe. You never get to a place in the kingdom of God where sometimes you don't take your robe off and wrap it around your waist, roll your sleeves up, and get to work for somebody. Amen? The kingdom of God is about loving and serving. It's about giving. John chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father in heaven. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power. Now I want you to understand this. And he took off his outer robe, and he wrapped a towel around his waist. Now, in the context of what it just said there, it said, Jesus knew that the Father had put everything under his authority. So what was his response? He knew that the Father had put everything under his authority, and instead of saying, putting on his robe and saying, guys, let me just tell you something, God put everything under my authority. But him knowing this, you see, when you understand your identity in God, then you have the power to serve. When you understand who you are in God, then you're willing to take off the garment that represents what God says you are and wrap a towel around your waist sometimes and wash the feet. Now, get this. He got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water in a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. And he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize what I'm doing now, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you'll never wash my feet. Jesus said, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that is why he said, not every one of you is clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Where was his place? He was at the head of the table, at his place of authority. How many know sometimes you got to be willing to move away from your place? You got to be willing. Take off your robe that represents your authority, put on a towel around your waist, and serve others. He went back to his place, and it's a very profound statement that Jesus said here in verse 13, or verse 12, it continues. He said, do you understand what I've done for you? He asked. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for this is what I am. So Jesus was trying to teach him a new way of ministry. Do you understand the mindset of an Israelite? That a Pharisee dressed a certain way. Jesus talked about it. He said, you wear your robes and you have your prayers on your robes and you have your hymns. If you'll look in the Old Testament, how when the high priest was given a certain attire because it represented something. And they wore it in. Every Jew had these robes, and on these robes were prayers, and there were the hymns. And this, the hymns of the garments, the hymns were really important because they represented genealogies, they represented authority, it represented status at the hymns. That's why the lady said with the issue of blood, she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I can be made whole. Do you understand that in 1 Samuel verse 25, that when David Saul was trying to kill him, and the Bible says that David went to the cave and cut the hem of his garment, that his heart smote him. Did it smote him because he just cut his garment? No, he cut something that represented that man's authority. So the hem of the garment represented something to the Israelites, and Jesus took off that robe. You got to be willing to come to be a servant in the kingdom. So the hymn represented the power. Your attire, your dress will always represent something in your life. But it can't be about that. It can't be about my authority. There's four things that I took from reading this scripture in John chapter 13. Are you willing to take off your robe? There's so much more than we do than just doing it. You know, I found that in ministry, we have so many ministries going on at this time, even at church. We got the hospitality ministry. We got the greeters. We got ushers. We got children's church going on. We got We Life. It's so much more than us being in a position. Because in the kingdom of God, the greater your position, the greater your responsibility to serve. And I find myself sometimes going through the motion. You see, if you don't continue to keep the meaning in front of what you do, you'll never do it with right. You'll never do it with the right attitude. It'll just be another thing that you do. And you won't give yourself to it in a way that represents the heart of God. You see, I've got to remind myself of why I do what I do. And when I do that, it keeps my heart right. It keeps me humble. Keeps me in the heart of a servant that even though I am, quote, the man, the pastor, I'm not the man, the pastor. I am the lead servant of the church. And that even though I have the authority of God to lead a church, my responsibility to God is to serve. That no matter what capacity that, you see, as we are faithful in the capacity that God's given us, this is not a job in the sense of what we see as another thing that we have to do, but it is a privilege to be a part of the kingdom anointing of God to do what God's called us to do. There's no such thing as just a pastor. There's no such thing as just a nursery worker. There's no such thing as just an elder. There's no such thing as just a guitar player. There's no such thing as just a worship leader. Everything that we do here is kingdom. And if you don't keep the kingdom in the forefront of your mind and heart of what you do, you won't do it right. It'll be just going through the motions. You know, I'm just going to say some things. I hope I don't hurt anybody's feelings. If I do, I'll repent. You know, I've seen people part, when you man a ministry position here, man it until it's over. Don't pack up early because somebody might need that. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about us fulfilling the kingdom of God for this church. Hey, take off your robe. Put on your towel. You know, we ought to think about that every time we do something here, that we're taking off my robe now and I'm putting on my towel. And I'm going to serve. Here's four principles that I got out of this message. Number one, serve first. Serve first. I'm telling you, that's hard because it's so against what you want to do. Verses 2 through 5, it says, the evening meal was in process. The devil had prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew the Father had put all things under his power, and he'd come from God and was returning to God. That one sentence would give a lot of us the big head. Hey, man, I did everything. I got it. But this is Jesus' response to God giving him all authority. Because he knew this, he got up from his meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel and was wrapped around him. What Jesus was doing was changing the ministry paradigm of his disciples. Never done this before. Jesus said, I'm going to teach you something different about ministry. Here, I want you to do this to each other when I'm gone. He left that with them. So serve first. Serve first. You know what it means to serve first? I was thinking about this today. It means that I'm willing to be inconvenienced. Are you willing to be inconvenienced for the kingdom of God? The Holy Spirit spoke to me. You know, I find that when things aren't going right at home, it's because I've missed it, that I'm not serving. You're either going to be a servant or selfish. You can't be one or the other. You can't be both. You're either going to be serving or selfish because you can't serve without denying self. Serve first. Jesus, instead of saying, listen, everything's put under my feet, guys, just like I told you it would. He said he wanted to change the mind of the disciples. How do you change the mind of people? You serve beyond what is expected of you. Serve first. No matter your position, serve first. Never let your position or your authority go to your head. Remember that it's about loving and serving and giving. The greater your position in the kingdom of God, the greater responsibility we have to serve. Serve first. The greatest question I've found in my life that I can ask is, how can I help you? How can I help you? Greatest statement I make as a pastor is not when I give the best answers. The greatest statement I can make as a pastor and a believer in the Lord is this, is that I'm going to be with you no matter what. When you make that statement, that's a call statement. What you're saying is, I'm willing to be inconvenienced based on the situation that you're in. Serving means I am willing to inconvenience myself. If you're not willing to be inconvenienced, you don't understand ministry. There's too many people who think ministry is about my gifting and talent, when really it's nothing about that. It's about giving your gifting and talent to serve and help others, to benefit others. If you're not willing to inconvenience, your influence in other people in the kingdom of God will be very small. What are you saying, Pastor? Well, Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 5. He said, if someone asks you to go 1 mile, go with them two. If they ask you for your coat, give them your cloak also. In other words, are you willing to be a little more inconvenienced than what's expected? Serve first. Number two, learn a different way to do ministry. Ministry is me giving all that I am to see others succeed. I love what it said here, that the Bible says that Jesus got up from his meal, wrapped the towel around his waist, and he had to have stooped down or kneeled down and begin to wash their feet. You've got to be willing to stoop down for others. Wow. In Psalm 18:35, the NIV says, David says, your right hand sustains me and your help has made me great. But in the King James Version, it says, you stoop down to make me great. David understood that God stooped down to make him great. Be willing to stoop down for others. Be willing to be inconvenienced. Be willing to take off your robe and to put on your towel. Ministry, when the rubber meets the road, is me willing to take my robe off, us take off our robe. It's not about position. It's not about giftings and about talents, because all those are going to be thrown at the feet of Jesus one day. It's about, how can I use those to see others successful? How can I use those to see others made better? Some of y'all had the privilege of knowing and hearing my Uncle Billy preach my first few years of ministry. And I think the mantra of his life was, how can I help somebody succeed? How can I? What can I do? What can I give? It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you money. And it's going to cost you effort. Do you know, if you'll build others, God will build your ministry. A different way of doing ministry. The Pharisees were all about the Pharisees. I was reading this morning how Jesus said, you wicked things. He said, you don't do anything to help people. You make it hard for people to go get into the kingdom. How many know when you're religious, religiosity is a wall, servanthood is a catalyst. So at some point, ministry, you'll understand that ministry is not about you, but it's really about what am I willing to sacrifice? What am I willing to give to see others succeed, to see others' lives change? The way you do ministry, the way we minister, will either open people's heart to the God that we serve or close them off to the God that. A different way of doing ministry. Jesus, even in Matthew chapter 20, when he spoke to the disciples, he said, the Gentiles lord over their servants, but not so with you. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. God came, Jesus came to sacrifice himself, not just on the cross, but while he was here on earth, to sacrifice himself to show people there's another way of doing ministry. When you're a servant and you're living for others, you can't be put out. Can't be put out. A different way of doing ministry, a different ministry philosophy. I love that when he said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give. I love those two verbs, the verbs of the kingdom, serving and giving. Matter of fact, the greatest definition of love is a willingness to serve and give. Number three, I just wrote this down. I began to think about this, that learn patience. Ministry is not pushing yourself to the top. It's waiting for God to promote you. Bible says promotion doesn't come from the north or the south. Promotion comes from the Lord. Don't be pushy. There's nothing uglier in the ministry than seeing somebody trying to push their way into something. Learn this word, flow. Flow. That word just sounds good. It kind of flows out of my mouth. Flow. I've seen a lot of people shipwreck their faith or shipwreck themselves by pushing themselves into a position that they weren't ready for. That's not how the kingdom works. You don't push yourself into anything. You serve in the capacity you're in right now, and God will promote you. Promotion doesn't come from the north or south. Promotion comes from the Lord. Let me just preface that by saying, God will never promote unfaithfulness. God doesn't promote inconsistency. God promotes when you're faithful where you are and you're patient where you are. And when you say, Pastor, I'm supposed to be, no, you're supposed to be doing what you're doing right now. question is, I would ask you, is how are you doing? If you're not doing well where you are, there's no way we could do well where God intends us to be. You see, faithfulness is this: learning how to be faithful or be consistent in the ministry that God's given us now, whether small or great, to create a platform for promotion to the next step. David learned that if he was going to be king of Israel, then God was going to promote him. He didn't have to push himself into that position. And even when he got out of line a little bit, the Bible says in 1 Samuel 24, verse 5, that he cut the hem of Saul's garment and his heart smote him because he got out of line and got ahead a little bit of what God decided, how he wanted to promote him, and his heart smote him because he knew he was wrong. He cut off the hem of his robe, which represented his authority. And you know, every time he had a chance, you remember this? The time they were sleeping, and he went down there with Joab, and Joab said, "Look, God gave them to your hand." He said, "I'm not touching the Lord's anointing. I'm not pushing myself into this place." You need to learn, we need to learn God's timing. Just be patient. Don't be pushy. It's God's timing. This is a good ministry word, isn't it? No one ever, listen to this. You know a good test of your patience is how you talk when things aren't working out the way you think they should. No, even better, it's a litmus test of your heart. Can I tell you who you're criticizing is not the person that's holding you back? What you're criticizing is not what's holding you back. It's you. You can blame, you can make excuses, but really, I love it when God just kind of gets me to a place. You see, God's really dealing with me about some things right now. And it's very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable. Because God's requiring some things of me now. You're going to find that as you walk with the Lord and God promotes you, a lot of your promotion to come has a lot to do with what you do now. So I'm getting pressed by the Holy Spirit about some requirements in my life. I can do one of two things. I can say, "Lord, I don't know about all that." We can just stay where we are. Or I could say, "Yes, Lord, whatever you desire of me, I'm here for you." Be patient. No one ever gained an individual advantage by criticizing others. The very thing, listen to me, I'm going to say this by the Holy Spirit, some uncomfortable things are going to happen to you in your future that you're not going to like. Might be the very thing. No, not might. Going to be the very thing you need. Hunter doesn't like it when I challenge him on things because I see things in his life. It's my responsibility as his daddy to speak what I see and to see change come. Does he like it? Heck no. Do I like it? No. But I would rather pain in my life than to stay the same. Come on, write that down in your tablet. You need to embrace pain more than you embrace staying the same. Because pain in God always produces something great. I don't know what a butterfly feels, a caterpillar feels, when it's going through metamorphosis in the cocoon, but I can promise you it's uncomfortable. And eventually what happens, have y'all ever seen a time-lapse image of a butterfly busting out of a cocoon? It's uncomfortable. It grows. Changes occur real fast, but eventually it outgrows where it is. And it's got to come out. It's the same way in the kingdom of God. You may be feeling some things that are very uncomfortable. You may feel constricted. You may feel like, God, I just feel like I got to bust out. Embrace discomfort. Don't be pushy. Don't try to make it happen. Just relax, but don't get comfortable. Trust God. How can I relax and not get comfortable at the same time? Well, the peace of God that passes our understanding, guard our heart and mind in Christ Jesus. It doesn't mean comfort and peace do not equate. God never expected us to be comfortable and have peace at the same time. He expected us to embrace discomfort, but at the same time not get pushy. Because when you're pushy, you're not living in peace. God, look, there's times in my life, in my walk, where I felt like I was all by myself and did not think that what God spoke to me would come to pass. Some of you may feel that way right now, but I promise you, I've learned that when we get to that point where we think we're not going to make it and we can't handle anymore, promotion comes. If we'll just relax and trust Him. Learn patience. Don't get pushy. And then number four, stay on point. Keep the main thing the main thing. The devil, all he's got to do, remember, he doesn't have to defeat you. All he's got to do is distract you. He can distract you. He can get you off point, then he wins. Paul said this in Galatians 2:20. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What an oxymoron. What kind of statement is that? He learned that if he's going to walk in the purpose of God, you got to live crucified. The only way I can stay on point is to keep the main thing the main thing. Whatever that means to you. John 7-13, it says, Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you'll understand. Isn't that awesome? He said, I'm teaching you a new way of ministry. You've known one way of ministry growing up in Israel, seeing that going to the synagogue, going to the temple, and seeing the Pharisees and the Sadducees and how you thought ministry was supposed to be. But today, he said, you're not understanding what's going down, but one day you will. No, said Peter, you're not washing my feet. Jesus said, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then he said, Lord, not just my feet, my hands and head as well. Verse 12, it says, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you, he asked. He said, you call me teacher and Lord, rightly so, for this is what I am. He said, but then I expect you to do this to one another. Set the tone and the trend of ministry with your service. Jesus set a new paradigm of ministry. He said, do you understand what I'm doing for you? You don't understand right now, but you're going to understand. Isn't that funny? He said that because, you see, we all wait for our time, and then when it's our time, I remember when I stood up to preach the first time as a senior pastor of Life Church, the Lord said, he said, you got what you want, now what you going to do? God, our idea of ministry, and God's idea of ministry need to mesh. Jesus set the example by saying, do you understand what I'm doing for you? He knew they didn't. He said, you don't understand, but if we'll just relax. I'm going to look at your neighbor and say, relax. If we'll serve first, no matter what. If we'll understand that God's way of doing things are different than our way. We'll learn to be patient and not pushy. We'll just stay on point. God's going to come through. What's going to happen is his promotion isn't going to come the way you thought, but it's going to come. And let me just say, it's going to come through a lot of pain. It's going to come through a lot of patience, but it's going to come. Real question is this. Are you willing to be made a servant? Are you willing to take off your robe? And our I know that's the Lord, amen in me. I know some of us are in this place. And you know what? Sometimes that place can be so confusing. Come on, how many of y'all say, Pastor, I do feel that way right now. Can I just tell you, you're right on time, right where God wants you to be. Because promotion doesn't come from the north or south. Just keep the peace. Don't get critical. Don't get ugly. Just trust God. He's going to come. I'm telling you right now, I love what he asked Peter. He said, do you understand what I'm doing for you? He knew he didn't. He said, I know you don't, but one day you will. Can I just say this by the Holy Spirit? That one day is not far off. It's not far off. Just hang in there like a hare in a biscuit. Grace, grace, grace. I heard Bob Weiner preach one time on grace. And he said, when you're going through things that are over your head and you're overwhelmed, learn two words. Pray these two words. Grace, grace. Speak to your situation right now and say, grace, grace. Grace, grace. The God of all grace. Come on, how many of y'all just say, Pastor, you hit the nail on the head today. I need some prayer. Lift your hands before the Lord. That's you. Can I just tell you, serve first. You can't go wrong serving. Serve first. When you don't know what to do, serve. When you don't know what to do, give. When you don't know what to do, love. Just know, do what you say, what you know God says to do. And then this thing called grace kicks in. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak grace, great grace, into your people. Lord God, may we be known as a church that loves and gives and serves. Lord, I pray right now, those that even have that, us who have the inkling to try to push to make our way happen, we relax. We take our hands off the situation and we say, Lord, we trust you. You are strategic and intentional with what you do with our lives, and we know you know best. Father, I loose the great grace of God that, Lord God, we stay on point. Keep the main thing the main thing. We not be distracted. In Jesus' name, I loose it. Amen. I want to ask you today before you dismiss, is there anyone here say, Pastor, I need to make a decision to make Jesus Lord of my life? You may have made a decision years ago, but you hadn't followed through on your commitment. Is anyone here say, Pastor, I need to take advantage of what Jesus did at the cross. did it for you. Shed his blood for you. Is anyone here? Come on, raise your hand. Today's your day. Anybody? Anybody? Man, I'm gonna dismiss you now. Father, I loose the grace of God over your people. And as we leave this place, Father God, I bind discouragement. And I loose the oil of gladness, the oil of joy, Lord God, and the purpose of God in your people. That from this day forward, Lord, we repent. We're getting a little edgy, a little short, a little sharp. Father, that's not what you asked for. Lord, we relax right now in the peace of God. We say we trust you, Jesus, with our whole heart. In Jesus' name, I thank you for purpose, destiny being fulfilled in your people. Amen. God bless you today.
You won't relent until you have it all. My heart is yours.
I'll set you as a seal upon my heart, as a seal upon my arm. For there is love that is as strong as death, jealousy demanding as the grave.